With their impressive antlers and unique bugling call, elk long have been a symbol of Western wilderness and coveted as trophies for hunters. In recent years, it's become possible to bag an elk without all the discomfort and uncertainty of an arduous backcountry hunt. Ranchers throughout the U.S. and Canada have been raising elk on farms, selling their meat, antlers, and sometimes the opportunity for clients to shoot the captive animals. Elk ranching prospered in the 90s. With the passage of restrictive laws in the U.S. and overseas, a drop in demand for exotic meats, and an outbreak of a fatal elk disease, the industry is threatened. From Darby, Montana, Kathy Witkowski reports.
On a clear winter morning, several inches of new snow on the ground, 16-year-old Rob Lewis gets out of a pickup, points the muzzle of his rifle through an 8-foot-high wire fence, and peers through the scope. About 100 yards away, on a high mountain ridge, stands a small herd of captive elk. And with the help of guide Steve Music, Rob zones in on his quarry, a yearling bull elk, or Spike.
Okay, that Spike on the left.
All the way on the left.
Yes, the one all the way in the left. If you're comfortable, you can take the shot. Okay, you hit it. It's down. Good shot. That's how I like to see him. Next.
Next.
Last season, some 150 clients paid elk rancher Len Wallace $5,000 or more to track and shoot one of his bull elk and keep the meat and the trophy.
I've had people come to me who have been with an outfitter for 30 years and got a couple of cows and a spike. Well, they want to shoot a big bull? Not a problem. We can take care of it.
But the elk Rob killed today is one of more than 100 animals that Wallace has given away this season. That's because a new law, known as I-143, prohibits charging fees to shoot captive elk. It also bans any new game farms, as well as the expansion or transfer of existing ones. Wallace says the law has put him out of business and robbed him and other elk ranchers of their livelihoods.
I-143 is essentially a theft proposal. It's disgusting. It's dishonorable. It's un-American.
Opponents of game farms say killing captive elk is dishonorable because it violates the notion of fair chase and undermines the premise that wildlife belongs to the public.
We feel that it's unethical and immoral and shouldn't be allowed.
Dave Stalling is with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, a hunting and conservation group that contributed $50,000 to the I-143 campaign.
It's not hunting, it is just shooting. And we put it in the same light as, say, dog fights and cock fights, and we feel this captive killing, pay-to-shoot elk operations are just as immoral and should be illegal as they are now in Montana.
But Wallace insists he was providing a legitimate service. He's proud of the animals he's raised. He says they live well and die a much more humane death than most livestock.
There is absolutely nothing wrong ethically with what we do. We have a code of ethics here. All these animals are humanely processed. My animals go through the process of harvest with a lot less pain, suffering, terror, discomfort than any beef you've ever eaten the hamburger from.
Not all game farms allow captive shooting. In fact, most elk ranchers make their money from sales of breeding stock and exports of antlers, which are ground up and used in traditional Asian medicine. But many opponents of game farms simply loathe the idea of domesticating elk, no matter what they're used for. Now they're bolstering their philosophical argument with the threat of disease. Chronic wasting disease, or CWD, is a debilitating ailment which is fatal to elk and deer. CWD has been found in both farmed herds and pockets of wild elk and deer. Wild herds don't tend to roam great distances, but ranched elk are shipped all over the country. John Muma, former head of the Colorado Division of Wildlife, warns that infected game farm elk pose a threat to the lucrative hunting and tourism industries.
And the opportunity for those to transmit that to wild animals, in my view, is very high. And so there's a great concern about that because it's a tremendous resource around the West. I mean, it's worth billions of dollars, and not only economics, but aesthetic value as well.
The fears were heightened this fall when authorities in Colorado discovered that CWD-infected elk from a Colorado game farm had been sold to ranches elsewhere in the state and to one in Kansas. Since there is no live test for CWD and no elk vaccine, all 1,500 exposed elk have to be killed. Their owners will be indemnified by the U.S. government. In Saskatchewan, Canada, 7,500 game farm elk have had to be slaughtered due to CWD. Henry Kriegel, a spokesman for the North American Elk Breeders Association, accuses game farm opponents of exaggerating the threat of CWD. He says elk ranching is highly regulated, and what happened in Colorado just proves the industry is on top of the situation.
The reason why those elk out of Colorado were quickly identified is because we have a very effective monitoring control system in place. We know where the elk are going. We're able to diagnose them. And in the cases where, in the very few cases that have occurred where CWD is present, those elk have been put down, herds have been quarantined and are being depopulated, all in accordance with USDA and state regulation.
No one knows for sure whether all the infected elk have been found, nor what impact CWD would have if it got into widespread populations of wild elk and deer. But the Colorado outbreak has focused new attention on the industry at a time when profits from its two biggest moneymakers have dropped dramatically. Since the elk industry isn't expanding anymore, sales of breeding stock are way down. And while there's no evidence that CWD affects humans, concern over the disease has led the Korean government to ban the importation of elk antlers from the U.S. and Canada, cutting off the producers' main antler markets. For NPR News, I'm Kathy Witkowski in Darby, Montana.